bags of cream, red roses too.
Hello, this is Ed Cohen, editor and publisher of GlobalBusinessNews.net, and your host today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com. Coming to you today from Old Town in San Diego, California, but also Dallas, Texas, and also Atlanta, Georgia. Our special guest today from Luminary Global Immigration have won awards, have been featured in Mobility, and Global Business News has featured Luminary Global Immigration in our recent Dallas conference, where they premiered something really, really special, which I want to ask them about right now, and it was all about competitive advantage of compliance. So first, let's say hello to Catherine Salem, Managing Director of Luminary Global Immigration, and also Glenn Falk, Senior Advisor. Let's welcome Catherine and Glenn.
Well, hi everyone, and thank you so much, Ed. This is Catherine Salem with Luminary Global Immigration. I'm the Managing Director and Co-Founder, and it's a real pleasure to be on your show.
Welcome, and hello, Glenn.
Thank you very much, Ed. It is a real pleasure and privilege, and I am a Senior Advisor, as you said, and also a Co-Founder of Luminary Global Immigration. Catherine and I very much look forward to talking about, you know, how smart companies are going to put proactive compliance front and center in their global business strategies.
So Luminary Global is one of many global immigration law firms and consultancies. So what is so special today about Luminary Global? What is this business called competitive advantage of compliance?
Well, that's a great question, Ed. And so Luminary Global Immigration is a consulting firm. We're not a law firm. And that allows us to consult on a variety of issues that have to do with talent management and global business, different compliance matters. We work with a network of immigration law firms around the world that advise on the on-the-ground local expertise while we provide the broad strategic assessment for businesses. And really what we have found is in taking a more broad approach with our clients, we have seen that really the time is now to be able to use data and technology to advance compliance with global business decision making. And that's what we spoke about at your event here in Dallas, how multinational corporations really can utilize technology and their data in a new way that allows them to move the compliance aspect up to the decision-making part of the process and thereby really avoid huge delays with timing and a lot of costs down the road.
Okay, Glenn, tell us about Imago. That's a cloud-based system, isn't it? How does this work for you?
It is. Imago and Imaguru is it accomplishes two things very well, very seamlessly. Imaguru is the knowledge management database, and that is, in my opinion and Catherine's opinion, an exceptional database where there's over 1,000 immigration processes for well over 100 countries where that is updated real time, and that is the importance of all of this big data. We keep hearing big data, but I think people get a little bit nebulous with what big data means. So this is where Imaguru and Imago are the best example of taking big data. You're taking immigration processes that are very organic and they change daily. So the supplier network drives the data that is in Imaguru through those country processes, through the categories of work authorization that's offered, Imago is then coded and linked to being able to drive such things as issuing very relevant questionnaires, which is extremely important, which is probably one of the most important areas of assessing and then consulting with, you know, the overseas supplier as to what is going to be the appropriate and relevant immigration category for our workers. So this is an exceptional feature that, you know, we have used, and particularly when we were at your seminar in Dallas, to be able to show that not only is it the traditional case management side, it's case management that also has the edge of being driven by the most up-to-date and also having quickly available what the requirements are for that country so that an assessment's done correctly. And then the case management side on the Imago, then that is driven, you know, entirely through predetermined steps that keep benchmark and milestone readily accessible, not only to us, as you know, the global visa and immigration supplier, but also to the client as well. So it really is a melding of big data country processes and then turns that into a result that helps both strategize from a reporting feature as well as also managing the case on a day-to-day basis. So we really, Catherine and I have just, and Ed, you know, you were there, and that really helped us, I think, to approach it where we could say, here's where we see compliance issues occurring. Here's the data that we have in Imago and Imaguru, and this could help you at a strategic level sit down, if Ed wants to sit down and say, okay, I've got this group of people and we have these countries, how quickly and how efficiently can we get our talent there? And what does our talent within our company need to look like to effectuate that?
It sounds expensive, though. Is it expensive for companies?
Well, I'll go ahead and answer that. So there's different pricing that's available, and of course we can't discuss that over the interview, but it is much more affordable for small businesses, for firms, consulting firms, law firms, or multinational corporations that want to utilize this data. So that's what we think is really exciting, but also the way in which this information can be used. Imaguru and Imago work together. So Imago, as Glenn mentioned, is the case management system. Imaguru is a process database that is populated by a network of Peregrine partners or immigration lawyers and professionals around the world on a regular basis. So that is the kind of data and the kind of technology that we have been able to apply to our client situations to really show how, with the reporting feature in Imaguru, a lot of the problems that we see repeatedly over and over and over again are actually preventable. And in just a few years ago, these kind of problems would have taken quite a bit of time and money to resolve, to do this kind of compliance assessment. But now you can do this. If you have a trained eye, if you give us a call, or if you actually use the system and know how to use it, you can have this data at your fingertips at the time of making key decisions.
And I want to say something, Ed, as well. When we're talking about expensive and we're talking about, you know, GV&I compliance, I think a good way that for your listeners and for what I have found in doing, you know, this work for many years, Global Visa and Immigration, GV&I, it is the gateway to global mobility, period. The centrality of GV&I compliance is absolutely essential because companies have, you know, a great deal of investments to protect when people are going abroad. But what we're seeing now, and the trend is going to become this, what Peregrine has developed, what Imaguru and Imago do for us, regulators abroad are also using technology where they are going to be able to do such things as one audit can trigger four audits. So if your people are coming in without the appropriate work authorization or business entry authorization, then regulators now are looking at that as a failure on you, the company's part. This is an internal company control issue where you knew about this, they're physically now in our country, and therefore we're not only going to look at whether you broke the law from a visa and immigration compliance perspective, you now have such things as permanent establishment issues. The OECD is now moving forward with, on a multinational level, we are going to start linking up our data, and we're going to move into a global compliance arena where tax, immigration, how you have registered your company, who do you have on the board, who do you not, all of this data that we use for ourselves to help companies strategically, make no mistake, these regulators are broad, and now that we're in the global economic arena, there has to be a global policing mechanism. And that's where you're seeing organizations like the OECD, Tax and Treasury Departments, they are starting to link and join hands to say, we can evaluate you as a company anywhere in the world and look at where your talent is. And if your talent happens to not be in the appropriate status, it not only is going to hit your bottom line as far as your performance on what you need to do there, we could look at your company as a whole globally and see if, in fact, you have tax liabilities or permanent establishment liabilities. So that is what, you know, Catherine and I have learned through this is the days of businesses depending on governments, quote, catching up. It's not a matter of whether or not their laws are changing fast enough to accommodate business. Quite frankly, I don't see where they're really much caring for that. They are basically saying we now have tools under our existing enforcement paradigm where we can use these tools to audit you at any level. So making this investment, putting the strategic information that, you know, we are able to provide to a business, that is where, from a business strategy perspective, the compliance must be front and center. Because if one audit can trigger four audits, that will be a very hard day of reckoning for some companies.
Do you compete with other immigration providers, or do you work with them?
Well, I guess you could say, you know, it depends on how you look at it, right? I mean, a competitor versus a collaborator, sometimes there's a fine line. We always seek to collaborate with immigration providers and mobility providers, along with corporate clients. We say it on our site, it is part of how we were founded, is to be collaborative in nature. And we really think that's actually more of the trend that we're seeing, right, with this sharing economy and with people learning to collaborate together and work together to solve issues. So, you know, for Luminary, we do work with certain firms, with certain providers. We do collaborate, and, you know, we're open to discussions on how to better serve clients, corporate clients. We do have direct corporate clients as well.
So what do you see, Gwen, in the Southeast? Is the Southeast different than the Midwest or the West?
I think in the era now of where technology is bringing a completely different, there's a completely different model going on. I mean, technology is the key here. You know, we're looking at now where small starting out companies, you know, fledgling companies, small to mid-sized companies, the traditional, you know, company that we, you know, Catherine and I have been accustomed to working with, those days are now, you know, moving into the arena of the millennial and coming up soon, the centennial workers, where, you know, the type of business that we are getting is across the board. It doesn't really matter as far as locale. Sure, of course, you know, California obviously has a huge tech sector, but here in Atlanta, Georgia Tech is developing a phenomenal tech center. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes the Silicon Valley of the South, quite frankly. So the ability for businesses to establish themselves and to get up and running takes much less effort here in the U.S. than it did even 5 years ago. But what we have to look at is, globally speaking, these companies, it's not a matter of these companies are executing contracts and projects and trying to open offices in the state of Georgia, and you, Ed, are sitting in California and you want to open an office here. You can very readily open a presence globally, and you can conduct business globally with you know, minimal infrastructure. The issue is that, you know, many governments, as I've said before, they're not catching up to this as far as changing their laws. Changing their laws take a great deal of time. You know that here in the U.S., we don't have a comprehensive U.S. immigration policy. It's well on now, almost 3 decades old, basically. But the ability for enforcement on global businesses is going to be key now with technology. And that's where, you know, we have to also develop our services and our expertise to accommodate so that we can facilitate these new businesses and these new workers. Millennial and centennial workers are very savvy. They're very exposed internationally, and they will expect that companies are going to preserve their global immigration records so that they, not only now working for them, but also well into the future, that they're not going to have immigration enforcement or adverse immigration action taken against them. So the type of businesses we see it across the board now, it's a matter now of, you know, how quickly they're going out there and actually placing their talent.
So to sum up, where are you going with this story? What's next for you?
What's next for us is, I think with looking at the competitive advantage of compliance, that was a chance for us really to look at, you know, take a look back at 2 years of data for our clients and really assess the root cause of why are they coming to us? What are the commonalities? What are the patterns that we're seeing? And, you know, how can we solve those problems so that we're really helping clients improve their bottom line and not repeatedly make the same mistakes over and over? And that's something that we're excited about, our discovery in analyzing that and applying it to technology, that there are indeed ways now to more quickly ascertain where are the problems, where are the risks, where are the timing concerns, the cost considerations. We can look at that from an immigration standpoint. There are others out there that are doing that from a tax standpoint. And I think where this is going is integrating some of that strategic knowledge, that approach, so that it makes for smarter global business overall. And what I mean by that is, for example, we see clients that perhaps they're doing an international merger and acquisition, or they are looking at executing a contract for services, let's say in Australia or in Gabon, and they really need to ask some questions before signing that contract or before committing themselves to something where there's performance issues and deadline issues involved and where budget considerations are involved. So they might need to look at, do they have a local entity established in that destination country to support foreign national talent? Will they need to set aside money and time to hire local talent to meet a quota for their foreign national talent? The foreign talent, are they eligible and admissible to those countries for visa and immigration requirements? So we're really looking forward to working with our clients in this way, where we really can take a preventative, a proactive approach with global business versus what we've always seen as far as a reactive approach when it comes to compliance concerns.
That is true. Is, you know, we're now seeing the reactive part of what we're now seeing is by the time an employee is identified within a company, that talent, as Catherine said, it may not be qualified to go, but the time to find that out is not when the contract has been signed and now there's a 2-week grace period of getting their person there. And the other thing I want to speak to as far as a trend and following up with what Catherine said, many countries now, particularly the Commonwealth countries, the United Kingdom and other Commonwealth countries, are getting very specific as to what they consider to be highly specialized talent. They're moving to a points-based system, or they are moving to extremely highly defined characteristics and definitions of what talent means. This is what is very important when we're talking about this. Enforcement is going to become greater through technology. It will become easier. And the way that you define your talent is not going to be what the company, HR, mobility, or business leaders think their talent is. They must look at the host country and understand how they define talent for the purpose of their business needs, and then work forward from there when they're making business strategy decisions. because the room for error now is getting very, very tight. And this is where we think, as we see talent definitions change, as we see more countries becoming nationalistic and wanting to limit migration, that combined with technological enforcement, I think, is going to be the key driver that businesses very much need to be paying attention to well going into the 2020s.
Thank you, Glenn Falk from Atlanta. Thank you, Catherine Salem from Dallas. I welcome you to join us once again. Give us an update soon, okay?
Thank you so much, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Signing off from Old Town in San Diego, GlobalRadioTalkShow.com.
What a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.